G7, number 13A.
We were discussing the contribution that Bicknell Young gave to the movement, and we could see that his main point was the oneness of being. And so we can ask ourselves, why didn't that teaching stay on? Because today there is no more a Bicknell Young school of thought. And therefore we have to ask, well, what was missing so that it could not survive for a longer time? And the answer we find really there, where right at the beginning when Bicknell Young began to see the oneness of being way back in 1913, 14, that John Dorley began to see something new. Parallel to teaching the oneness of being, he was beginning to teach the order of being. He began to see that it is not enough to see the oneness of being, because that is somehow an undifferentiated oneness. Like a little bit like Nirvana, that's also the altitude of the oneness, and there is only one being. But it is an undifferentiated oneness. And John Dorley began to see that the 7 days of creation were written down and presented in a lawful order, in an order that is a law, in an order that is not at random written down, so that the first day must lead to the second day and not to the third day. That the second day must lead to the third day and not to the fourth or fifth day. And so we began to see order. And actually, order is heaven's first law. From that moment on, really, the first initial indication were given that Christian Science is a science. Also, that the Bible contains a science and not just nice stories of the past, not half hidden Jewish history, as Mrs. Eddy calls it, but that also the Bible, because the Bible begins with the 7 days of creation, were actually showing a science, so the deep structure would have to be a science. So John Dorley began to see that order, but it didn't yet have that impact on the field as Bicknell Young had, because what Bicknell Young was teaching was well received, but the order of the 7 days of creation, though John Dorley would lecture on it, was not so well understood. It was well received, he was prominent as a lecturer, but what was really in his heart was to show order, and that kind of thinking didn't sink in, really, in the movement. Still today, the movement does not know anything about order, does not know the divine order. Though Mrs. Eddy speaks about order, and order, and order, the higher order, and so on, nobody asks, what is order? So, in the quietude of his thinking, he began to evolve that sense that being is ordered, and trying to find out what that order is. So he was. So we come to a fourth period after the first one of good thinking, then second Kimball, then third Bicknell Young. We come to a fourth period of John Dorley, of science, where science was beginning to crystallize itself over many decades. It took quite a while. First he could see the 7 days of creation, then he began to see that also other Bible teachings were in that order, like the commandments. He was teaching the seven steps in the commandments, then in the Beatitudes, the seven steps. Then he began to see it in the Lord's Prayer always reinforcing that this is a definite order, that it is a scientific order, an irrevocable order, an irresistible order, a creative order, so that finally we could see what the 7 days of creation show is the law of divine creativity. That's underlying the word order. Then we began to see that the same order was also in the textbook in the third degree of the scientific translation of Mortal Mind. That third degree of understanding was actually written out in the same word order of wisdom, purity, spiritual understanding, then for spiritual power, love with a small L, love, health, holiness. So he had again a proof that his investigation into the order of science was right. So you could see his proofs were not so much in the practice than first in seeing the proof of principles, proof of science. He proved the scientificalness of science. That was his great achievement. So as he went on, he began to see then that actually the 7 days of creation could also be seen in the seven synonymous terms. It was only at the end of the 30th of this century that he began to see that actually those 7 days correspond with the seven synonymous terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, as given as a definition of God. Now, can we see, so to say, the bigness of what Dolly showed? The bigness of it was that he could show that the seven synonymous terms were, so to say, the ontological category of the nature of being. Why is this so big? Right way back, starting with the Greeks, they were always trying to find categories. They were, because of their philosophy, they wanted to see, can we not reduce the infinite into categories? And therefore, from that time on, one were always in every field of science seeking for the categories underlying that field of science or of philosophy. But they never could find the ontological category. Not the Greeks couldn't find it, nor the modern philosopher could find it. We know that also Leibniz was trying to find it, that Leibniz was trying to reduce the infinite to what he called monads, which were nothing else but ideas in his century, and trying to find really the categories of being, but they couldn't. Nor could Kant, the philosopher, find it. Nobody could find it. If you take a dictionary on philosophy and look up under category and categorical analysis, then you will always find that they say that we have not found the categories of being, the ontological categories. Now, Mrs. Eddy has found them and written them down as the answer to what is God, which is being, and showed the answer of God as a category of being. So when we think about this new period, we really should be most grateful, so to say, to live in this century. Because now over nearly 3,000 years of philosophical thinking and scientific thinking, Mrs. Eddy, through revelation, has found out that what these people were seeking, namely the ontological categories. We are sometimes very happy for a healing. That's fine. That's wonderful. Nobody likes to be sick. Nobody likes to be in sorrow and pain and so on. But this is nothing compared, really, with that big discovery and with that that we have found in this age, the ontological category of being. Because he could not only find the category of the nature of God through the seven synonymous term, but also the category of the operational sense of God, the four sides of the holy city, and further, as a third big category, the dimensional categories of being. That being has many dimensions and could reduce those dimensions to those four levels of science: Christian science, absolute Christian science, divine science, and science itself. These are the three great categories of being, the seven plus the four plus the four, 15 root notions that constitute really the root notion of those three categories of being, of which Mrs. Eddy says that's an infinite divine calculus, that we can with these great categories, we can calculate really infinitude. If you take Mrs. Eddy's statement on page 520, which is the end of the seventh day of creation, there she shows something that gives us a sense that science evolves itself. Namely, starting out like John Dolly did with the 7 days of creation. She said, these 7 days of creation are actually what? Then she goes further and says, they are actually the numerals of infinity. So she takes the thought sense out of the thought level and puts it right up to the infinite, into the realm of ideas. And then she goes on in that sentence and begins to show that in the measure as thought accepts really those numerals of infinity, those 7 days of infinity, that thought accepts the divine infinite calculus. And you see, in one paragraph, she is telling us the self-evolution of science as we have experienced it, actually, in the Christian science thought. Did I put this clearly? That we first had the first period of thought, of good thought, leading finally to idea with Kimball. Kimball then bringing in the second period where he wants to show that principle must be understood through ideas and only through ideas and not through human thoughts and good thoughts. The third period where Bicknell Young would show that these ideas which are interpreted by principle constitute not isolated ideas, that we don't have a universe that are constituted of thousands of isolated ideas, but that each idea reflects the other ideas, so that we have just one being, the oneness of being. His great point was the oneness of being. But that oneness is a oneness that must be seen in its science, in its infinite diversification and categorization. And that is what Dolly did. Dolly could see the ontological categories that were embedded within that one being. So he wasn't satisfied just by saying there is only one being. And you know how many people are just happy by saying, oh, there is only one being. After all, we don't have to worry about anything. There is just one being. And you have many offshoots of Christian science, like Goldsmith and New Thought. All they rely on the oneness of being. They don't see that this oneness of being must have categories, must have a science in itself. So Mrs. Eddy was striving to the point where she could see that it was science that constitutes that one being. See, Mrs. Eddy was quite unique in that way too. When she had her healing, which was very surprising for her, a terrific healing in 1866, through reading the Bible, suddenly she was healed. Well, such incidents you can find by the thousands in history. That is not a unique incident. When you go back to the history and the religion and read all that, you find that such healings were occurring over and over and over and over. That alone was not something terrific. What was terrific about her was what she herself says in the sixth chapter, that she knew that the ancient prophets and ancient seers and visionaries, they too had healings. They too could heal spiritually. And then she makes a comma, and then comes the but, the important but. And that is unique. Instead of saying, thank God Almighty for that healing, I thank you of my knee, I thank you every day on my knee that you have healed me. Instead of saying that and doing that, she said, but I must know the science which underlies this healing. That is the point, to ask, really, why did it happen? And not so much to be grateful that it did happen, but the asking, why? That's a scientist. The scientist asks, what lies behind a so-called wonder? He knows that the wonder is not possible. In a universe of the one God, there are only laws at work and not wonders. We call them wonder because we don't understand the laws behind it. And she said, there must be laws behind it. There must be a science behind it. And therefore, the highest I can do is to find out that science, because if I find out that science, then I can teach it to everybody. Then everybody can have the same experiences as I had. That's universal. And so we must see that we are not satisfied just at the point of having a healing, though this is wonderful, though we have to be grateful for it. But really the main point is to find the science. The science of what? She only had one being, principle and idea is one, and this one is God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, being, capital B. And that is what she had to find out. Therefore, we can see that Dolly really made a step forward, very important step forward, which is of the nature of showing the science of that one being. All science is divine. There is no other science. And we can see that if the students are faithful to the science of it, that then Doris's teaching will never get lost. Because then we have an impersonal teacher. When we don't have a personal teacher, then we have an impersonal teacher of the highest caliber, namely science itself. Science becomes our teacher. And that science can be found in the textbook the moment we read the textbook with a structure of scientific categories within our consciousness. Then we can see that deep structure lying behind, or deep down, I must say, deep down in the Christian Science textbook. Yes. So we can see that his contribution was, first of all, to see the order of the 7 days leading up to the order of the seventh synonymous term in the word order. But when he was hammering on that word order, naturally the opponents came, and thank God they came, and said, well, Mrs. Eddy has other orders in the textbook than the word order. And she actually has. She has two other orders. And so this was a good critic. And Dolly made the best of it and said, yes, there is another order. What on earth does it mean? Why is that order different than the order that I have been looking at for nearly 30 years? Nearly 30 years looking at it. Why didn't I look at the other orders? And so he began to see that there are other orders, the Christ order. He could see that the other order on page 115 was telling something about the Christ translation. So it wasn't a definition of God, but it was a definition of the translation of God to man, something different. Therefore, has the Christ sense in it. And so he could see the moment I have to think about the way the Christ translates itself to man, I have to think along another order, namely of principle, life, truth, and love, soul, spirit, mind, as she gives it on page 115. And then third, he could see the Christianity order in the glossary, where Mrs. Eddy gives a definition of God good in a different way, namely in principle, mind, then spirit, soul, life, truth, and love. So he found three different orders in the textbook, but could define why they are different, because they belong to another category. So at that moment he began to see, God, there must be another category, namely the category of Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, the four sides of the Holy City. Oh, that's terrific. That's really showing me the key to the Scripture. The key to the Scripture tells me in Genesis the Word order, the days of creation order, and in Apocalypse he really shows me the four sides of the city, the divine infinite calculus, the dynamics of it, the way the seven synonymous terms operate, shows it as the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. So he found the key to the Scripture. And in finding the key to the Scripture, naturally he began to touch that second category of being, namely the four sides. There was a snag in it. He could only find in the textbook three orders of the synonyms, when he could see that there must be four orders of the synonyms, because there were four sides. And I remember how quite for a long time he was constantly asking that question, where do I find the fourth order? What is the fourth order? And suddenly he saw it. He saw it how? He began to see what are really those three orders all about. He could see the first order was building up in consciousness the nature of God. Then the second, the Christ, was showing us how God translates itself to man, to idea. The third order showing how big is the idea, Christianity. How big is the idea? Saying to himself, but that didn't come into being. Being always was. Can you see that transition from the becoming sense to the being sense? And so he could see, oh, the fourth order must have something to do with beingness. And so he said, well, that's easy. I have only to look at the word order, not from beginning to end as a becoming sense. I have only to look at the word order from the middle of it, from principle, and see that principle is the being sense of it, and therefore could see that the word order is at the same time, if approached properly, also the science order. And the moment he saw that science order from the middle of it, naturally thought was at once having a contact with that old symbol in the Bible of the candlestick. That had also seven lamps, but those seven lamps were not ordered or in the order of one lamp leading to the next lamp, to the third lamp, to the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, and the seventh. It was not in a row. Can you say that? An order in a row. But it was in a structure. It was in the middle a shaft, and hanging on that middle shaft were three times two arms, going out like this, and like this. So giving a sense of structure, and no more just of linear order. He began to see structural order. Can you see how one idea of science, after a while, when one has imbibed it well enough and have spiritually seen it well enough, that it leads to another concept, that it leads to another paradigm. So from a linear order, it led at once to a structural order. And from that time on, naturally, he began to think structurally. That is the point where the students today have to really get used to it or culture themselves in it, that we have to do with a structure. It's also interesting that when a new idea is about to be born, before it is being born, that there are always first little signs that indicate that something is moving. I say that because when I look back in the middle of the 30s, John Dorley was very much stressing the fact that Mrs. Eddy says divine metaphysics is reduced to a system. Constantly he was thinking about that. Divine metaphysics is reduced to a system. Nobody could tell what the system of Christian Science was. And he couldn't know either, but he knew that Mrs. Eddy asked for a system. And therefore he knew that if Mrs. Eddy asked for a system, the system must be somewhere in the textbook, that it must be found, that it existed, that it can be discovered. And it took, so to say, a whole decade, so to say, many, many years, until he began to see the system. Naturally, he could only see the system when he had at least two categories, because a system is when two categories are intertwined. If you have that intertwining of two or more categories, you get the system. And so when he has seen the seven, and then afterwards saw the four, then he had two categories, and that gave him, for the first time, the definition of a system in Christian Science. Two ontological categories meeting each other. Yes. So that resolved itself after many years.